Luke chapter 5, if you would. Luke chapter 5. We want to talk about the idea of at his word. And it comes from the story of Jesus and four fishermen, three specifically named, in Luke chapter 5. Early in his ministry, Jesus was in the regions around about the Sea of Galilee. In fact, he spent a great portion, maybe more than elsewhere, in the regions around about the Sea of Galilee. But early in his ministry, because what you may find in your Bible in a topic there, or if you're studying, you may find that they express this as the time of the first disciples. He met these four fishermen, and if you look at the timeline, he's met them in the past, certainly. But here, Jesus, it says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 5, now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break, so that they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For amazement or fear had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. So also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. When they had brought their boat to land, they left everything and followed him. If you read verse 5 and some of the other translations, you will find that Peter's response to Jesus was, at your word. For the most part, none of us like to be told what to do. Most of us like to make our own decisions. And even when we do hear from somebody, you need to do this, one of the questions we ask very often is, why? What's the purpose for this? Now, I learned real early that the most common answer to that question when offered to my parents was, because I told you so. And it didn't take, well, I don't think it took long. They may have thought it took forever, till I finally got in my head that what I needed to do, not that I always did it, but what I needed to do was just accept what they said and do it. Now think for a minute about the situation that we have here with Peter and these others who were his partners when Peter responded with, at your word. These were professional fishermen. They made a living catching fish with nets on this lake using those boats. And they had gone to their favorite places. They had gone to the spots where they could make the most of their time and their efforts, and had brought back absolutely nothing after spending all night. I went fishing with Dad one time on the Tennessee River. We fished, well, the morning we went out and we fished, and we was up and down, man, just as soon as you cashed out there, we was bringing one in. So we stopped about lunchtime, and we came back to the house. And something was said, probably Dad, because he was always eager to get back out on the river. He said, "We was catching pretty good. You want to go back out this afternoon?" "Well, yeah, we was doing well. We'll go back out." He said, "But we still going to have to clean these fish tonight. Well, I got to go to work in the morning, but okay. We'll go back." We went back. We fished all afternoon. Didn't think, maybe one or two. We filled the boat that morning, and we were eager to get back out there and fish some more. We might catch a whole lot more. Catch them. If the situation had been reversed, if we'd gone out all morning and not caught anything, he'd have had to go back fishing by himself. I would have missed out on a great catch. What Peter says there in verse 4, or verse 5, in very respectful words, in very respectful terms to this man that he has come to know as a teacher, come to know as a man focused on God, maybe even already recognized him as a prophet. John had told him through Andrew and such that this was the Christ. Peter is saying, "I really think that's a waste of our time. I really don't think that's a good idea. But I'll go. Because you said so. At your word. I will take you at what you say, even though I don't understand. I really don't think from my experience it's a good idea. And I have no idea why you really want me to go do that." And then verse 6 tells us they had phenomenal results. Why? Because they were fantastic fishermen? Because they had big nets? No. Because they just did what Jesus said to do. You might recall there's another time, another story told, where they had been fishing and Jesus told them to cast their nets on the other side. Now their boats were probably a little differently shaped, maybe even bigger than the ones we fish in on the, I don't know, some of y'all may fish in some really big boats right here. But you're talking 10, 15 feet from one side to the other. And what they do, they cast their nets on the other side and they brought a large amount of fishes in. Think about that. What Peter in this example shows us is that he was willing to just accept Jesus at what he said. This is the kind of attitude that we need to have toward the Word of God today. Just after these events, they brought the fish into the shore. Think about this again. They brought all those fish into the shore, best catch they had, and what'd they do with them? They left them there with their partners because Jesus said, "Follow me." And they did. You won't be fishers of fish anymore. You will be fishers of men. And they left their nets, they left their boats, and they went and followed him. Do we today have that kind of faith and trust in God? Yes. These four men had seen the miracles of Christ that had led up to this point. They still had not yet seen where he stilled the sea. They'd not seen him raise someone from the dead yet. But they accepted him at his word. Jesus said it, "I'll do it." Way too many people in this world are not willing to just follow the words of the Lord. Sometimes we run into those that we encourage to just follow the words of the Lord and they think, "I'm not good enough." Well, I would present to you what Peter said there in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I'm not worthy of you. Yet when Jesus spoke, he followed. He did exactly what Jesus asked him to do. There are a lot of people in this world that look at what they've done in the past or things that have happened to in their lives or things that have happened to those that they have loved or those that they have known in the past, and they say, I'm just not good enough. There's just too many things wrong with me for Jesus to take me. But he said he would. He said, I'll take you. No matter who you are, come to me, and I will accept you. Jesus answered, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I've not come to the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. In Luke chapter 18. No, Luke chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. I learned how to stop having to remember what verses those are in. I just say Jesus said, or Paul said, and then you can go find where it's at. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners. The righteous answered the call because they knew who he was. They accepted him. When we turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, the Apostle Paul there tells those brethren, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Are you worse than those? That's a pretty bad list there. When we, in our human minds, categorize sin, most of those are way down there. They're in the depths of depravity. We see. We continue with Paul. But such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus came to help the worst of sinners to become clean. You cannot be an evil enough person that Jesus won't take you if you'll just listen and follow his word. We need to get that through our heads. I'm afraid sometimes that even we as Christians, we read that passage over there in Peter where he talks about the man who knew to do right and turns away from it is worse off than the one, than the sow that was washed turning to her wallowing in the mire and the dog returning to its own vomit. Well, if I sin, God's never going to take me back. Only if I don't come back and listen to his word. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter who you've hurt, how you've lived. If you will come to Jesus and follow his word, will be holy. You can be sanctified. You can be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ if you'll just accept his word. Just do what he says. When we accept the word of Christ, that means we put him first. I'll go back and reference to myself because I know more about my examples than about anybody else's in the world, so they're kind of familiar to me. And I know growing up, I had lots of ideas. I had ideas myself. Some of my friends had ideas. My teachers had ideas. But if I wanted to be happy at home, I had to follow Dad's ideas first. Well, Dad's and Mom's. If my buddies wanted me to do something, I had to make sure they approved of it first. If I wanted to invite somebody over to my, I got in trouble for this time or two. If I wanted to invite somebody over to spend the night with me, I had to make sure Mom and Dad were okay with it before I even talked to them about it. I was supposed to. And certainly before I went and told their parents that they were going to come stay at night. Why? They're my parents. I put them first in my thoughts. And I use that as a vivid illustration of what Jesus is talking about. In the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 31, in the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 33, did you know those two passages say basically the same thing? Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Or, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we're going to accept Jesus at his word, we're going to do what he says first. First, no matter what else. We're worried about a lot of adjustments to our laws. Trying to change so that this postmodernism, or I want to do what I want to do, as we talked about in Bible class this morning, can overrule. And we hear things about rules and regulations that are passed in various towns and various cities. I've been hearing for years about places over in California where they've said you can't have Bible studies in your home because you got people parked out on the streets, and we'll give you tickets and we'll fine you and all these sort of things. And now we're hearing that even religious organizations, they're going to try to hold them to the standards of anybody can use any facilities that they want to because that's what they think they want to do. And I've got more than a few. I got a lot of ideas about how we can solve that problem with the Lord's church, or how that problem should never be a problem for us anyway in the long run. But over all of those things, my first thought, the first thought of every elder that serves as a shepherd over a congregation, and of every Christian who says, I will follow the Lord, is follow the Lord. Do what God says. God said, behave yourself in a righteous and upright manner. God said, flee sexual immorality. God said, rebuke wrongdoers. Put God first. If we're going to just accept Jesus at his word, we're going to put God first. What did Peter do when Jesus said, go out there and let down your nets? Did he sit there and talk to his buddies and say, or his partners and say, fellas, I know we've been doing this all night. Do we want to go do this? Is this a good use of our time? No. He said, I don't understand, Lord, but I'll accept you at your word. And he put down the nets. And then called his partners to come help him bring in the haul. Put Jesus first. Here's the hard one. Here's the hard one. And most of us don't think about it that way, but it is. There in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we talk about seeking first the kingdom of God. You go up a few verses there. About a dozen, well, a little less than a dozen or so. Along about verse 20, 24, along in that area. You'll see some passages there. In the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, that was made mention of this morning in our Bible class. As a guide for righteousness. You'll see some verses there where Jesus says, turn loose of the treasure you have here on earth. so you can have treasure in heaven. Or maybe a more pointed passage is the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We all know about the qualifications for elders and deacons that are listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We all know about the women are to keep silent and not be an authority that's found in Timothy. Do we all know what Timothy says in 1 Timothy chapter 6? Well, yeah, we've all heard money is the root of all evil, right? Well, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. And here's the instruction that Timothy gives as a result of that. Because of that teaching, because of what he said there and what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, Paul told Timothy in verse 17 through 19 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." How much do you like your treasure here on earth? Your pension? Your house? Your truck? Do you treasure it more than you treasure God? Use one of the scenarios we were just making reference to. If the government were to come and say, "You can no longer have this building because you won't submit to our rules and regulations about public assemblies," would you still find somewhere to come together and remember the sacrifice of the Savior? If we lost our padded pews and our air-conditioned assembly halls and our divided classroom situations, that makes it easy for us to talk with various ones on various different subjects that are important to them at that particular age or station in life. Would we still come together to worship and to study and to come to know? If the government came to us and said, "Because you are not tolerant, we're going to take everything you got," would it keep us from serving God? And you know, we think about those things and we think about them in abstract. It wasn't very far down the road until some of these very people that Timothy was to be teaching there in the city of Ephesus were placed in a position that they could not go to the market and buy food because they had not said, "I accept Caesar as Lord." Where's our treasure? Where's our hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Or my hope is in the bank account I have over at whatever First National or whatever there is here. And my home that I have built and established my place in. Where's our treasure? If we're going to accept Jesus at His word, our treasure is going to be focused in heaven. But another thing that we need to consider, we don't have to have an explanation regarding the commands of God either. There's a lot of people that refuse to serve the Lord because, "I can't understand why He wants me to do that way. I can't understand how being buried in water is going to wash away my sins." I can't. God said so. I don't see how breaking this little loaf of bread and drinking this little bit of juice has any connection to the kind of person that I ought to be, God that I serve. Well, first off, if you're a Christian and you don't understand those connections, somebody needs to sit down with you and do some serious study. Because the body and the blood of the Savior and this memorial is the basis of who we are as children of God. We have those that would say, I can't understand why God would not let me just live with whoever I want to live with. I can't understand why God would not let me leave this person because it makes me happy to leave them and go live with somebody else. I can't understand why God wants me to come to worship services 3 times a week. Such a burden and so hard to do. I mean, you got to get up and get ready and you got to change clothes. You got to leave work and come home and eat real quick and get changed so you can get back on Wednesday night. That's just God. I can't understand why God would make me have to do that. There's so many things that are rules and regulations that we have from the instructions of the Lord that what we need to do is just accept them for what He says. Lord, why can't we have a 5-string band up here? I like the way of a good guitar picking. I like a little different guitar picking than my dad does, but I still like a good guitar picking. I can enjoy somebody that knows how to play the piano. It can help me feel better. But God said, sing. And I can go to the scriptures and we can show you the explanation why I sing and what it's talking about and the a cappella and why not to have instruments of music and those sort of things. And certainly we need to spend some time doing that. But ultimately what it comes down to, are you willing to accept Jesus at His word? Or are you only willing to obey Him and do what He has said do when He explains to you why He wants you to go put the net out in the lake to catch fish after you worked all night long and hadn't caught anything? And probably the best answer that could be given is, I told you so. At least that we would understand. Why is it so important that the men are the leaders in the congregation? Women have some great ideas. I learned a lot from my mother. I learned a lot from my wife. I learned from my daughters even. But Christ told us that they don't have a place of authority among the Lord's people. In fact, He told us they're not in the position of ultimate authority in the home either. I can't understand that. That just doesn't make any sense to me. I've got to do what my husband tells me that I'm supposed to do. Yeah, he's also got to lay down his life to save yours. We need to stop asking why and just start doing. Can we learn why on many of these things? Yes. And I'm confident that y'all have heard and will hear lessons later on throughout your life. And if you'll read and study the Word of God, you can learn the why on your own as to why these things are. Well, Adam was created. The woman created after him. The woman gave into sin first, and Adam follows her. She has her responsibilities, and he has his. It's the way God designed it. Why do I have to spend so much time focused on spiritual things? Why can't I spend a little more time just goofing off? How about when I sit down to read and relax, why don't I just read Louis L'Amour books all the time? Or for some of the younger Harry Potter. Divergent series. I'm not completely out of the loop. I'm just a little slow on some things. Why can't I spend my hours that I'm relaxing just sitting there watching YouTube videos all the time? Well, because they're not going to help you grow spiritually. They're not going to make you into who God wants you to be. They're not going to tell you what His Word is. That's why. Why do I have to be spiritual? Because I am a spiritual being. I am made in the image of God. In the image of God, He created them. Holy and righteous. Spiritual. Focused on things that are right. No matter what else is going on. That's why. I'm a spiritual being. And I am headed to a spiritual home. You ever heard the song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through"? My treasures are laid up just beyond the blue. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Do you feel at home in this world? Do you? We've had an enjoyable time over here. We've had a nice, comfortable place to stay. Not a lot of noise over there. We've been able to visit with a lot of folks, but I'll tell you what, when I get back home, when I get there. But when I get back home, I'll be a little more comfortable. Because it's home. I slept pretty good in bed in the hotel room. Probably a newer mattress than I got at home. Maybe that's what it was. But I'll sleep even better in my old mattress at home because it's comfortable. It's what I'm familiar with. If you want to be familiar with and comfortable in heaven and uncomfortable here on this earth, you need to be spiritual, not worldly. That's what Jesus said. He said, keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. We read that and we tell that to our teenagers and to our adolescent children growing up. Keep yourself pure. Mom and Dad, keep yourself pure. Purified by the Word of God. Sanctified. Holy. You've been washed of the world. Such were some of you, but you have been washed. You have been sanctified. Why? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. The effort of just doing what Jesus said because Jesus said it is worthwhile. As long as I followed my parents' instruction to the letter while they were watching, I had a nice, comfortable place to come home to. I had a roof over my head. I didn't have to worry about where my meals were coming from. In a similar manner, there is a place of safety that is ours. A place of rest, a place of comfort. Even while we walk on this dank, dark, wicked world, there is a place of light and comfort. There is a phenomenal reward if we take Jesus at His word. In Luke chapter 18, verse 28 through 30. Again, the Apostle Peter, imagine him speaking up. We have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, There is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parent or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. As I was reading through that passage at this time and other times when I have read this in combination with Luke 5, I've wondered, did Peter remember that phenomenal catch of fish when he just did what Jesus said, when Jesus told him, you've left all. Now look what you got. And oftentimes when we talk about that, the family and such, we talk about the fact that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have such a great family here. I can go in almost any state in the nation, and I know that if I need something, I can call on brother or sister in Christ, and they'll help me. If by some chance I was to get up here and nobody know I was here and I got lost, if I could find Roger Gibbons' phone number, he'd come find where I was and give me a place to sleep. I can go to Florida, I can go to California, I can go to, maybe not New York City, but somewhere close thereby. I can even go to the state of Washington and stay with somebody besides mom and dad. And we talk about that as being this family that we have, but that's not the family he's talking about. While yes, we have those blessings here, we have God. We have a home in heaven.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, Paul told the Corinthian brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The king will say to those on his right hand in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or as Peter renders it in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. You ever watched any of those shows where at some point or another the royalty comes into town and roll out the red carpet and everybody shined up all their best, and you can look and you can see all the gold and the splendor that's on display for them to come into town? Now, I'm not telling you we're literally going to have a red carpet and gold and such displayed for us when we come into heaven, but that's what I think of when I think of abundant supply entrance. When I come through the gates of heaven, it'll be better than coming home. It'll be like walking into both grandmother's houses, and mom's house, the White House, and the palace over in England, as if I were supreme, overarching ruler over all the world. One hitch. At his word. That's what matters. There's a lot of details that we can talk about and explanations that we can give, but what it boils down to is, are you willing to take Jesus at his word and put your net down?
where he says put it, when he says put it. Somebody said, well, if Peter's going to rest for an hour, and then we'll go, I'm going to fish here. Do what he says, when he says, how he says. What do you say? He said, well, do my will is the will of the Father. You say, what is the will of the Father? Believe in Jesus as his son. Not just Jesus as he was born in Nazareth and he lived over there and walked around telling a lot of good stories, but Jesus as the Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary, paying the price for the sins of all mankind, was buried in a borrowed grave, and rose again on the third day to go and sit up on the right hand of God to be ruler supreme over the kingdom of God. Here on earth, it's just time to hand the kingdom back to the Father. How do I do that? The Father's word. How I show I believe that? I follow the word. I confess that I believe those things and I stop following my word. I start following just a lot of people ask me, what is repentance? And one of the simplest ways I know to express repentance in an overall sense, stop doing what I want and start doing what I want. Stop listening to me and stop listening to you. Confess my belief in God through confessing my belief in His Son and death on the cross that paid the price for my salvation. And then I can be baptized into Christ so that I might put on Christ. I can have my sins washed away. I can be washed. I can be sanctified. I can be made holy. Not because of me, but because of Jesus. And my willingness to just do what he said. What about me? I've stopped doing what he said. Moved out of Dad's house and I started doing whatever I wanted to do. How about I fix that? Repent. Stop doing what I want to do. Start doing what God wants me to do. John tells us that if we will confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God will wipe them away as if they've never been. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you may have strayed, if you will come back to God on His terms and do His will, you have all you have. What's your condition this morning? Do you need to do something? Did something last week that the Lord was supposed to be in my Saturday. 29. Poles were going to flip, the world was going to end, and earthquakes and terror and all kinds of stuff. I don't know when. But it would. This time. Are you ready today? The only thing that will stand between you and heaven in the end is whether you obey the will of the Lord. My word shall judge that. That's what I said. Will you accept the will of the Lord? If you need to come to the Lord, congregation is here to assist and help you in whatever way we can. Why not come and let your desire be known while we stand and sing for your encouragement?